Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 to 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The story is told of a teacher who wanted to check whether one of her students prayed before eating. And so she said, Johnny, now tell me honestly, do you pray before you eat? Johnny looked up and answered rather waggishly, no, I don't need to because my mum is a good cook. Well, it's just a story, but it highlights the fact that so often we pray because we're anxious or because we've got things on our mind. And it's absolutely right to pray when we're anxious and when we have things on our mind. But that shouldn't be the focus of our prayers. Instead, we should be praying for the Lord's priorities, praying for his kingdom. Well, we're currently in a sermon series examining the Lord's Prayer, and today we're reflecting on that sentence, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, God's kingdom is one of the big pieces of Jesus' teaching and one of the major themes of Scripture. And we're going to split our time up into two sections. Firstly, we'll be thinking about your kingdom come, your kingdom come. Well, when we hear that phrase, your kingdom come, what pops into your mind? Maybe you think about ancient kings, mythical kings like King Arthur. And maybe you think about tyrants, ruthless kings. Or maybe you think about figurehead kings who don't really have much power today. Well, often the question that's asked is a question of legitimacy. Who gives that king or who gives that queen the right to rule? Well, when it comes to the Lord's legitimacy, the reason why he is the legitimate king is because he's the creator. He's created this whole universe. He's created you. He's created me. He owns you. He owns me. He knows what's best for us. And so he's the legitimate and the loving ruler. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're acknowledging that the Lord is this legitimate and this loving ruler. The reality, of course, is that this world is in rebellion to him. And we see that in the opening pages of the Bible. God made Adam and Eve. He made them in his image. He gave them everything that they could possibly want. But they rebelled against him and they went their own way. And that rebellion is writ large right through Scripture. And it's writ large in our world and in our lives as well. Now, the Lord could very easily reinstitute his authority in the flash of an eye, but he's too measured to do that. He's doing it slowly through his son, Jesus Christ. And you may remember that when Jesus came to earth, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He wanted people to repent and to acknowledge his kingship. Sometimes people grapple with this idea of God's kingship. Where is this kingdom? Well, you may remember that Jesus preached and taught, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not a geographical location. Well, what is this kingdom? It's God's rule in men and women's hearts. When is this kingdom coming? Well, in some senses, it's already come. Jesus is the king. He's defeated sin and Satan and death at that decisive battle at the cross. And he's ushered in the kingdom of his church. The kingdom is already here in some senses. But in other senses, the kingdom is still coming. And it will only come in its fullness when Jesus returns. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying for the advance of God's rule in the hearts of people. And we're acknowledging that the number one problem in this world, the number one problem is not the financial issues. The number one problem is not the pandemic. The number one problem is it's not racism. It's not all of those serious things. No, the number one problem is rebellion. That brings us into disharmony with one another, and that brings us finally under God's judgment. And so when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying that men and women might bow the knee in humble adoration and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And that affects the way that we pray for everything. It affects the way that we pray for this world. When we see this world that's full of strife, we see this world that's full of all kinds of different problems, economic problems, the pandemic. Well, we pray, your kingdom come. We know that it's only when Jesus is Lord over all of these things that the problems in this world, problems such as pollution, all of those things will finally be done away with. It affects the way that we pray for our leaders. When we see our leaders struggling with various issues, struggling with financial issues, struggling with political problems, struggling with racism, well, we pray for them and pray that the Lord might rule in them. It's only as they submit themselves to the one true leader that they'll be able to lead well, and that we long for them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It affects the way that we pray for our leaders, and it affects the way that we pray for people generally, evangelism. We know that this world is full of problems, suffering and pain and heartache, but it's only as men and women submit to the Lord Jesus Christ that they'll be brought into true harmony. And so we pray that men and women might know Jesus and submit to him. It affects the way that we pray for other Christians, discipleship. When we see other Christians trying and struggling to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, your kingdom come, rule in them more and more and more deeply. It affects the way that we pray for ourselves. When we look inside, we see our hearts full of selfishness and pride and bitter envy, and we pray, Lord Jesus, rule in me. May your kingdom come more and more fully in me. It affects the way that we pray for Jesus' return. When we look around and we see so many problems in this world, we know that no amount of striving is going to be able to deal with those. It's only as Jesus returns that all of those problems will be dealt with. And so we pray, your kingdom come. Praying your kingdom come is praying for the Lord's priorities, praying that people may submit to him. That's praying your kingdom come. And the second thing we're thinking about is praying your will be done. If praying for the kingdom is praying the Lord's priorities, then praying for the Lord's will is praying that we would accept the things that he's decided and the things that he has decreed. The Lord is our loving Heavenly Father, and he's instituted and decided certain things, and we need to submit to those, just like with any parents. Take, for instance, my children. Now, we have recently bought our children a trampoline, and they absolutely love this indoor trampoline. It was just a few hundred dollars at Decathlon. We put it up inside, and my daughter, Chloe, who's three, and my other daughter, Eva, who's one, they love to bounce on it. But we've had to create all kinds of rules for this trampoline. Only one person on the trampoline at a time. No food on the trampoline. No other toys on the trampoline while you're bouncing. You're not allowed to rugby tackle your sister on the trampoline. You're not allowed to hit your sister on the trampoline. You're not allowed to push your sister off the trampoline. And the rules go on and on and on. Now, these rules aren't arbitrary. They're there to make sure that everyone has a good time. But of course, Chloe and Eva are only three and one. They don't always appreciate or understand these rules, but the rules are there to protect them. Now, the same is true with our loving Heavenly Father. He's decided certain things. He's instituted certain things in order to protect us. And we need to submit to his will as the loving Heavenly Father. Now, there's two aspects to God's will. The first aspect to God's will is his revealed will. that everything that we need to know to live a moral life that pleases him is contained in Scripture. And we need to obey and to submit to what God has revealed to us in Scripture. Well, a couple of examples from our previous sermon series. We just had a sermon series in 1 Thessalonians. And you may remember that on two specific occasions, Paul explicitly mentions God's will in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Can you remember what they are? One of those is in chapter 5, where he says it's God's will that we should be thankful. That even amidst so many bad things that are going on in this world, where we're tempted to be introspective, we're tempted to grumble because of the problems that are going on in this world, despite the many things that are going on in Hong Kong that might make us unhappy, nevertheless, we're to be thankful and to praise the Lord. That's his will for us. And so when we pray, thy will be done, well, we're praying, Lord, help me to be thankful. That's one of the things that Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians. The other thing that he mentions is that it's God's will that we should be, and this is in chapter 4, God's will that we should be sanctified, that we should live a sexually pure, holy life. Now, we live in a world where we're inundated by all kinds of wrong sexual messages, and it's very easy to follow the pattern and the teaching of this world. But when we pray, Lord, your will be done, and your will be done in my life, well, we're praying that we might live a sexually pure life, as God has revealed to us in Holy Scripture. Well, God has given us everything that we need to know to live a holy life in the Bible. He's told it all to us. Everything that we need to know is recorded for us in there. And those are just a couple of examples. There's many, many other examples, things that we need to follow. So that's one aspect of God's will, his revealed will. But the other aspect of God's will is his sovereign will. And that is to say that everything that happens in this world is sovereignly ordained for us by the Lord God. Everything that happens. There's nothing that happens in this world that happens by accident. Now, most of the things which the Lord ordains sovereignly, he's not going to tell us. He's not going to tell you whether you're going to catch your bus tomorrow. He's not going to tell you if your boss is going to be in a good mood tomorrow. No, most of these things are secret. The Lord sometimes allows pain and suffering into our lives, but it's all part of his sovereign plan for good. Now, the clearest example of that is the cross. God had planned in eternity that Jesus would die on the cross. There, he was brutally murdered by sinful men, but it was all part of God's plan for good. Now, the same is true in a much smaller way in your and my lives. Sometimes the Lord allows painful experiences, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, a bitter illness. The Lord allows these painful experiences into our lives, but he promises that he's always working for good. Most often, in order to refine our character, make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in those moments, we have to pray, Lord, your will be done. I trust what you're doing here on this occasion. Now, that won't be easy. Just think back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he knew that it was God's plan in eternity that he should die on the cross, even though he knew that a great deal of good was being achieved by it, he still had to go to Gethsemane, and there he had to wrestle in prayer for hours. We're told that as he prayed, he sweated drops of blood, and it was only after many hours that he was able to say, Lord, your will be done. Well, the same is true for us in our lives. We need to say, Lord, your will be done. I trust you. And sometimes we'll take great, great care with the decisions that we've made. Maybe you've taken extra care to make sure that you are following the Lord's revealed will. Maybe you've taken extra care to seek the godly counsel of other Christians in some or other decision or plan that you are making. But even as we do all of that, we have to hand it over to the Lord and to say, your will be done. And sometimes it's not easy to accept what the Lord has in plan for us. But just recently, a lady told me a true story about how she was praying for a loved one of hers who was ill. In fact, it was her father. And she was praying and praying and praying that her father would be healed. But on one occasion, when she was praying, it's almost as though she heard a voice at the back of her head saying, "I'm taking him home." Well, Christians shouldn't listen to just any voice at the back of their head. And so she immediately rejected this voice and rebuked it. After all, it went against everything that she longed for and she hoped for. Shouldn't it be God's will that her dad should be healed? But she continued to pray over many, many months. But as she continued to pray, there were other hints and Bible verses that seemed to suggest that maybe he wouldn't be healed. Eventually, she was called to the hospital by the doctors, and her father said to her, "I'm going home." And she said, "Yes, Dad, you're coming home." But he said, "No, I'm going home." And somehow he knew that he was going to be with his Heavenly Father, and he died peacefully, just as he had said. And it was only after all of this lady was telling me, that she was able to see that the Lord was preparing him and was preparing her, and that she was able to say, "Thy will be done." Now, the same is true for us. We shouldn't expect to have voices at the back of our head or signs or pictures when we're praying. The Bible doesn't set that as an expectation. But it does tell us that sometimes we might be praying and praying and praying for things that we long for, praying for things that seem so right, but the Lord may not grant us those things. Remember that when God answers prayer, the answer is sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes not yet. And sometimes for things that we're praying and longing for, the answer is no and not yet. Prayer, remember, is not so much us changing the Lord's mind. Rather, it's our will submitting to his sovereign kingly will. And that's what happens when we're praying the Lord's prayer. When we say, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying the Lord's priorities, that his rule might advance in this world. And when we say, "Thy will be done," we're praying that we might submit to the things that he's revealed and submit to the things that he's kept secret as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that Jesus is the one true King. Thank you that he's defeated sin and Satan and death. Thank you that he's calling men and women to repentance. And we pray and we long that his rule might continue in this world. Help us, we pray, to submit to things that you've revealed in Scripture and submit as well to those sovereign things that you've ordained but have kept secret. We ask in your name. Amen.